Welcome, fellow confidence crusaders, neuro nerds, and success equalizers. This is your podcast, Real Confidence. I'm your host, Alyssa DeVere, and I'll be sharing a bit of basic brain science, some surprising social secrets, and a touch of tough love. Why? Because I believe confidence is everyone's fundamental right and choice. So let's get to it. I would say that every 20th pitch I get is somebody who uses the word unstuck. They want to help the world and people to get unstuck. But, you know, there was this one person that you're going to get the pleasure of meeting in a second, C.K. Collins, otherwise known as Kelly, who wrote a book, The Swipe Right Effect, The Power to Get Unstuck. And her story and her wisdom was something I had to bring to our audience. So Kelly, thank you for joining and being here with that wisdom today.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
So if you would start, you were pretty stuck. I would even use the word traumatized, and you did some pretty amazing things as a result. But let's start with what happened. What was the trauma? What was the reason that you were like literally immobilized?
Yeah, that's a great word for it. Yes, immobilized. So in 2017, I had the trifecta of change and loss of identity. My daughters were grown and gone. So I was an empty nester for the first time. My 30-year marriage was ending, and due to a betrayal and a long-term affair. And then I had to sell my business, which was a news publishing business. And basically my entire identity, those three ways that I felt like I related to the world, were gone. And I was stuck and scared to death. I didn't know what was going to happen and what, you know, where I was going to go, but I figured it out.
Well, yeah, you did figure it out. But at the time, you know, I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness, I'm kind of about to be empty nested. I've married 30 years. I hope there's, right. But like, yes, you knew your kids were growing and leaving. That was
sure. Yeah.
Predictable.
That was planned.
Was the business issue, was that also planned? Was that forecastable, or was that a sudden shock too?
I did not want the business to get caught up in the divorce proceedings. And it's very difficult when one of the spouses is a small business owner to figure out how to evaluate the business. And it can cause a lot of problems and a lot of delays. And I was not going to go there. I wanted to move on. And I also was really grateful that I could see that I needed to work on myself. And working 60, 70 hours a week, which I did out of love for my business and my employees and my community, because I was a newspaper, so it's community. I knew I needed to work on myself, and I could not do that and take care of this business at the same time.
All right. So, you know, we're meeting for the first time for real here. We did some emails, and I really feel a connection. And I hope that people who are listening, whether you're an entrepreneur or have a corporate job or stay at home parent, doesn't matter, you know, working on yourself. I don't know how many people actually get the time to do it, but good for you for recognizing it. So when you came out of this, you said it was a trifecta. I'm like, it's, I don't know what the right word is, but what a cluster. I mean, holy moly, all at once.
Cluster.
What was the, like that moment you're like, okay, I gotta work on myself. What was it that triggered it? Or was it just intuitively obvious at that point?
One of our best friends, his name is Bill. He was the best man in our wedding, actually. And, you know, he'd been one of our best friends for 30 something years. And he had walked the Camino de Santiago. It's a spiritual pilgrimage hike, 500-mile hike in Spain. And he came to me and he said, I think this would help you. And I think you should do it. And I was, of course, said, there's no way I can leave my business for 7 weeks. And I don't know what's happening and I can't do that. And he kept, you know, nudging me very gently and lovingly. And I decided that it felt selfish, but it felt right. And I had this like 24-hour period where I got four signs. And I didn't really believe in signs, but I got four signs that said, you should go, you should go, you should go, you should go. And I did. I decided to do that. And that really was the launch pad for the beginning of my recovery.
All right. So whether other people believe in the signs or not, can you at least share one or two of them just so we get a sense of like, what was it that kind of gave you that motivation?
So Bill was trying to get me to watch this movie called The Way. It's Emilio Estevez produced it and Martin Sheen, his father, was in it. And it's about the pilgrimage. And it was, you know, something that helped Bill decide to go. Well, Bill asked me to watch it on a pretty traumatic day when my husband was telling his parents that we were getting divorced. And so it was just like bad day. They don't want to even think about it. And I watched the movie, or I was started watching the movie, and Bill called, and because he was worried about me. And I didn't end up finishing the movie that night. I ended up talking to him about the Camino till like 1:30 in the morning, fell asleep while he was talking. But he said, "Kelly, it saved me." And that's what I went to sleep on, right? And so I woke up and it was 5 o'clock in the morning. I was pretty mad because I only had 3.5 hours sleep, but I couldn't sleep because I had the spins in my head and I was worried. And so I watched the rest of the movie and I thought, oh my gosh, I need to talk to Karen. She did something like this in Scotland. And it's still like 6:45 in the morning or something. It's still very early. And I get up to walk across the room to turn off the television. And Karen called me. I mean, 7 seconds after I said out loud to no one at 6:45 in the morning, she called me. And then we made arrangements to meet that afternoon. She was in town. She didn't even live there anymore. You know, it was just so crazy. And then I go to my office. I haven't picked up this devotional in 2 years because I'd been going through a lot with my marriage and I had just kind of given up on that daily practice. I picked it up and I opened it to December 9th. And it was, you can't play it safe right now. There's a path that you have to walk and I'm going to walk it with you. I will carry you when you cannot do it yourself. And I was just like, boom, slammed it shut and was like, oh my God. Right. And yeah. So, and then there was two more, but that, I mean, that was just like, boom, boom. And that was within 2 hours of each other. And I picked up the phone and I called my husband and I said, I'm hiking the Camino and I'm going to leave at the end of April.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm a big believer in signs and signals too. And I think to some extent, when you keep your eyes open, they're all around you and those certainly were present for you. There was this trauma that was going on though. And so how, you know, do you think being stuck was more, and in general, you've written now a book about it. Is it that when we're traumatized, our eyes are closed, we're not seeing the opportunities? Or do you think that there's some other reason that the opportunities just don't appear when we're in that situation?
I think when you're stuck, you become blind to the opportunities. I think that the universe is always providing what you need. And I say this a lot in my book, that we all have the power, and the power is in our choice. We can, if you are not choosing to get better, that is a choice. Not making a choice is a choice, you know? And so I keep, you know, from the preface, I start saying, you have the power to choose. And the book is just laying out different ways you can choose so that it's right there. You don't have to think. You can just read and do. And that's, so I think it's, you become blind, that inertia, you know, really is painful and it's exhausting. It's exhausting to just be sitting there doing nothing to get better.
Yeah. So I'm flashing on the screen. I know our listeners can't see it. This is my book, Confidence is a Choice. So one of my books anyway. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that the minute you make the decision to make a decision that you are going to choose to go hike or not hike for that matter, whatever the choice is, that is the moment of confidence and it really gets you out of the stuck mode. You call the book, your book, the Swipe Right Effect. What is that? What is that about? Like why that name?
Yeah, well, you're married, so you wouldn't know.
Don't say that.
It's from a dating app. It's from a dating app. And when you're on the app and you swipe right, you're choosing someone. Yeah. When you swipe left, you're saying, not that guy or not that girl. What I believe is you need to swipe right for yourself. You need to choose yourself. And that's the most important choice you can make. And the effect of that, of swiping right for yourself, is you discover your power. I remember somebody said to me early on, Kelly, you're just giving away your power. You're just letting what he did to you have all your power. You got to take back your power. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, I don't even know what that means. And so, I mean, I think once you realize that that power is within, you know, whether you believe it's the universe or whether you believe it's God or whether you, you know, I believe we're all divine and that we have something special within us. And that power is in your choice. And I think, you know, that, you know, if you're a Christian or, you know, that it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve had a choice, right? So I think it's been highlighted over all of our history that we have the power.
Yeah. Well, again, not to hype my own book, but the whole book is about the brain science behind that. And choice gives us power. So, and power gives us choice. They're interrelated.
I love that.
So I totally agree. I would even argue that when you choose to swipe left, it's still a choice, right? It's just
absolutely
not necessarily as conscious of a choice. So you decide to swipe right. You'd say, you know what? I'm going to go hike. I'm going to go do work on myself. What, you know, in a summary form, like, what did you do? And how did you said in the beginning, you quote, recovered from the trauma. So what was the process and what was the outcome?
The process was many, many things. You know, I went to counseling. I even did PTSD counseling at the recommendation of my family therapist. I did walking therapy is what I got all the 4 months of preparation for the Camino. I would line up friends because sometimes I was doing 12 miles a day. So I would line up friends to do stints and talk about life. And as I'm opening up to them and sharing my pain, they start opening up to me. And it just becomes this place where we're making space for each other and we're sharing more honestly than we ever have because of my trauma. I did solo travel a lot. And I think that was really healing, putting myself out there, trying new things. When you do that, you start getting proud of yourself and you start going, wow, I did this. Look what I did. And I can do more, you know, and you, I don't know. It's an incredible experience to do that. And the Camino really was the beginning of my solo travel. And I think the best thing I ever did for myself was at the 3-year mark of having sold the company, and I'd been working there for 3 years. That was part of the deal. I retired and I decided to take a huge leap, and I sold my house and I gave away all my stuff. I let the kids take the furniture or whatever they wanted. And then I gave everything else away. And I wanted to be free to go and do and find my new life. And if it brought me back to Nashville, okay. But if it didn't, even better. Go do something new. And I kind of wanted to live by the ocean. It was really a dream of mine. But I wasn't set on that. And so I really just opened up to what the universe might do for me. And I took a sabbatical. I traveled for a whole year. And sometimes friends would meet me. But most of the time I was on my own. And through that time, the idea for the book came to me. And it's really just a gratitude practice, paying it forward with the information that was shared with me.
That's awesome. Where did you end up? Are you by the ocean?
I am in Newport, Rhode Island. And
definitely.
Yeah, it's gorgeous here. Yeah, I love it. That's even the winter wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Actually, I live about an hour and a half from you. So
I know
Newport well, and it is beautiful down there, and what a nice place to land. So thank you in every respect. I suspect, you know, as you were saying, you were taking these walks with friends and they started opening up to you. I think one of the problems that we have, I know one of the problems we have in our society is that we assume nobody else has trauma, right? That nobody else has that same pain that you do. And it is particularly amazing when you did get vulnerable enough with somebody to share yours, and all of a sudden you hear about theirs. And I'm just curious, as you were walking, were you surprised by what you were hearing from friends that otherwise might have looked picture perfect on the outside?
Yeah, I was. I mean, some of them, you know, it wasn't as surprising, but it was really important to me that they were trying to let me know I wasn't alone. And, you know, I wasn't living in the suburbs. There wasn't a whole lot of single people there. It was mostly married people. So, you know, it was important to try to connect with people who were also single that could have that conversation with me. But then it was, then the rest of it was just people being, you know, loving and kind. And, but yeah, there were some surprises for sure.
Yeah. I, you know, I'm always surprised, to be honest with you. I shouldn't be at this point, but some people who come across, particularly on social media, that, you know, picture perfect life, everything's awesome. They're traveling, they're doing all these cool things. And you sit down and maybe have a second glass of wine with them, and they start to confess some of the things. It's pretty amazing. Now, granted, your trauma was, I mean, you said it was a trifecta of trauma, and that was a lot to carry for sure. But needless to say, I think we have to be a lot more compassionate with each other and certainly with ourselves. And you're a wonderful role model on both levels. So thank you for that. The book is The Swipe Right Effect, The Power to Get Unstuck. People can get it. And how do they reach you?
It's available on Amazon. That's the easiest way to get it. My website is ckcollins.co. And my email is kelly@ckcollins.co. But okay, there's a lot of references on the website, free things even, to, you know, help people get started. And you can even read the first chapter of the book for free at swiperightchapter.com.
Fantastic. Again, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. Congratulations on overcoming what clearly was quite an experience. There's no question about it. And thank you for shining some light on the rest of us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Before we totally wrap up, I want to let you know that full transcripts and show notes for this and other Real Confidence episodes can be found on www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com/podcast. I also want to remind you once again that the best way to get confidence is to give it to others, and you can do it just by liking and sharing this episode on your preferred podcast and social media channels. You can even give me some confidence by noting topics you'd like me to consider for the future. So for now, this is Alyssa DeVere. Thank you for helping to bring more confidence to the world. Master editing done by Ben Weinstein, with original music performed and composed by Jeff Mitchell. Real Confidence is a production of American Confidence Institute. All rights reserved.